couldn't contain his delight, Caleb Ewan, a lifelong dream when he won a stage of the Tour de France. And we've had other Aussie success on the tour as well, which is terrific. Mike Tomalaris joins us on the line. G'day, Mike.
Oh, g'day, TK. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, how exciting. I mean, we've got the Aussie connection. We'll grip hold of it all.
Yeah, look, it's been an interesting first 12 days now of the Tour de France. Great to see Caleb Ewan crack it for a victory 24 hours ago. A great young fellow. He's promised so much. He's been knocking on the door of success here at the Tour. He got himself a couple of seconds, a third, and finally, in his debut appearance, won a stage. And I'll tell you what, he's done better than Robbie McEwen. When you compare the two careers, Robbie, it took him 3 years to win his maiden stage at the Tour in 1999. And once he did that, the floodgates started opening for Australia's greatest sprinter, cyclist. And for Caleb, boy, he's got a big future. He's only 24, 3 years younger than what Robbie was.
Wow. What's his strength as a cyclist?
So he's got a big future ahead of him, boy.
Yeah. Well, what's his strength as a cyclist?
His strength is that he is very short.
Yeah.
His centre of gravity is very low, Loz, and he's just got power in his legs. And when you watch him lunge for the line, as we saw 24 hours ago, he actually hangs his head below the handlebars. He's got a very unique style, and it obviously pays dividends. And it's good to see that he picked up a maiden stage victory.
Yeah. Mate, he's like a jockey. I mean, I know Robbie was small, but what's Caleb? What would he weigh?
I don't know what he weighs, but I know he's about 165 centimetres. What's that?
Oh,
5 foot three or four. Look, he's tiny. And when he stands up on the podium next to those tall podium girls, he's still a midget. He still looks like a midget. he's tiny. He's the shortest guy in the field, that's for sure. But where he lacks in height, he certainly makes up for in power in those legs.
Yeah, no, he's a someone that we'll keep an eye on into the future. What about this young man from Britain, Simon Yates? He claimed his maiden Tour de France victory in Stage 12.
Yeah, look, and he represents the Australian team, which is funded and owned by Jerry Ryan. And I'm sure you guys know who Jerry Ryan is. Yeah, he's an absolute champion. He loves his horse racing. He loves his stage production. And he loves his professional cycling team. He's been sponsoring this team, bankrolling this team since 2012. And he's enjoyed two successes this year now. His South African rider in Daryl Impey won a few days ago, and now Simon Yates. And there's every chance that Jerry and his Mitchelton Scott team could win the Tour de France. I mean, they're banking their hopes on another British rider. It's Simon's twin. It's Adam Yates, who's sitting in the top 10 as we go into the second week of the competition. So, I think Jerry's a terrific bloke. He's a white knight for Australian cycling. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of the Aussies in the Mitchelton squad have not been selected. It's made up primarily of non-Australian riders.
Yeah.
There are a few in the eight-man squad at the Tour de France, but a lot of them are there as assistants, as domestiques, as we call them. But the overall hopes are hanging on Adam Yates, who, as I say, is in the top 10.
It would be great, and I think we've discussed this before, Mike, if we could get all the elite Aussies all together in the one team and have a true Aussie team, and Jerry would back that. But quite clearly, you get
you
the best
riders.
But we could match it, couldn't we?
Yeah. I've got to say, Jerry's dream is to win a Grand Tour. And actually, he did win a Grand Tour last year when Adam Yates won the Tour of Spain, the Vuelta. But he wants to win the Tour de France. He's got this passion for the professional cycling. He's got this love for the Tour. And whether it's because of the SBS coverage, I mean, we've been running this race, showing this race since 1991 to Australian audiences. And he fell in love with cycling back in the early to mid-90s when his Jayco Caravan Company sponsored races in Victoria. And he's just got this obsession with the team, the sport, and it continues. Now, my only fear is if he wins the Tour de France, he might even pull the pin in terms of sponsoring because he's climbed the highest mountain himself as a backer. We'll have to wait and see. But if he's gone from cycling, then Australian cycling will also suffer, I dare say.
Yeah. Julian Alaphilippe, he retains the yellow jersey, but Geraint Thomas is right behind him.
Yeah, look, Geraint Thomas is the defending title holder, and he's looking damn good, which really surprises me. I thought when he came into the Tour, You know, he's won his tour. He doesn't have to win five or six like others have. He's won one tour, and at 33 or 34 years of age, I would have expected him to back off a little bit and perhaps give another rider in his team a go. At the moment, he's in second place overall. Alaphilippe is not expected to win the tour. He'll probably relinquish the yellow jersey in the next couple of days, and therefore, Geraint Thomas is the virtual leader of the race. Richie Porte is 4 minutes behind the yellow jersey, but he's only 2 minutes and 40 seconds behind Geraint Thomas. Richie's got a lot of work to do. Now, the fact of the matter is we've got a time trial tonight, your time, and then we've got two summit finishes in the Pyrenees. Next week, we've got two monster climbs in the Alps. And when I say monster, they rise to an altitude of some 2,500 metres where the air is very, very thin. Now, Richie, if he wants to climb onto the podium when this tour comes to an end on the 28th of April, July, I should say, he should make a move and do it very soon. The time trial will be telling. He's good in the race against the clock, but he's going to have to make up time because 2.5 minutes doesn't sound like much, but it is when you're climbing big monster mountains like they will over the next few days.